May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 456. The good hand of God has brought us again, a favour bestowed we hope not in vain, to hear from our Saviour the word of his grace, then be our behaviour becoming the place. Hymn 456.
May the Lord help us to read from his holy word, the book of Genesis, chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. That is, two hosts. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob said thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds, and the camels into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, "Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove." He commanded the foremost, saying, "When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold, also he is behind us." And so commanded he the second and the third, and all that followed the droves, saying, "On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau, when ye find him. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with a present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, that is, face of God. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, and may he grant us prayer. O Lord, we do pray that we might be given a spiritual understanding in thy word, a saving application of it, with power to our souls this evening. Do send thy Spirit down, Lord, in the name of thy Son. Oh, thou hast promised it. We plead for the fulfillment of the promise, even upon us. Thou hast thou not said, if ye be in evil now to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? O Lord, do give thy Holy Spirit. We've grieved him, we confess. Lord, forgive our sins. Deal not with us as we deserve. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Withhold him not from us. O, do grant thy influence. The quickening of the dead, the convincing of sin, of righteousness and of judgment, the leading and prompting in prayer, in the ministry. O Lord, that it might be indeed, as thy servant the apostle wrote, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, of the Spirit and not of the letter. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Lord, that thou wouldst take of the things of Jesus and reveal them to us. O Lord, we pray, raise us then above the many things that cast us down, that hold us down. Our soul cleaves to the dust. Thou knowest, Lord, our frame. Lord, remember this night that we are dust. Grant thy Spirit. Lord, for it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. O Lord, do raise us above ourselves, above carnal things, lawful or unlawful. Lord, we pray for thy presence here this evening. Thou wouldst be to us a sanctuary while we are in this place. Lord, that thou wouldst speak to us. Lord, that thou wouldst grant us grace. Thou wouldst be merciful to us. Let's come where we are and pour in the oil and the wine of the gospel. Lord, do help. Hear the prayer of the destitute. Fulfill the desires of those that fear thee. Thou knowest how they've come. Lord, we pray, disappoint not thy people. Lord, thou never will. When thou dost withhold, it is for their good. Lord, thou knowest their need. And where thou hast given an exercise, where thou hast given a hunger, where thou hast given a thirst, where there has been a spirit of prayer given, surely it will not be in vain, cannot be. Lord, do then grant answers. One word, Lord, with power from thee, is a wonderful answer. One glimpse through the lattice of thy word, one softening influence, to soften these hearts of ours, so hard, so unfeeling, to raise these souls of ours so earthy, carnal. Lord, to conquer this unbelief which is so strong, so powerful. To grant then, we pray, thy ministry, be not silent to us. Lord, we plead for pardon. Who can need it more than we? Lord, our iniquities are great. Our transgressions are many. Our backslidings are many. Lord, we continually come short of the glory of God. Lord, we pray, heal us. Pardon. Cleanse. Renew, uphold, maintain. One of old said, thou maintainest my law. And we would thank thee for thy maintaining of us. Thy mercies which in providing for us, the lengthening out of the brittle thread of our sin forfeited lives. Lord, our daily needs met in such abundance. Thy watchful care over us in this dangerous world, wherein thou hast made known to any of us the greater riches in thy Son, which thou hast prepared for souls by sin undone. Continue thy mercies, we bear before thee this people. Lord, do help them, do bless them. Lord, do favour them with thy presence, thy communion. Grant them, Lord, living ministry. Lord, we pray that thou would undertake for them, even at this time. Lord, thou hast brought trouble upon some of them in a particular way. Lord, uphold them in it. Be merciful to them. Deliver them, Lord, we pray. Sanctify the trouble. Let it be a blessing. Lord, do help. We pray, Lord, for thy provision. We thank thee for thy mercies. Thou hast not dealt with us after our sins. Lord, continue thy goodness. Help the afflicted. We pray particularly for our dear friend who we understand is seriously afflicted. Oh Lord, do be with him at this time and his dear wife and family. This great burden, anxiety. Oh Lord, we would plead if it would please thee to spare him. Grant thy blessing upon lawful means used, relief, restoration if it is thy will. Do then direct those that have his case under consideration to give wisdom. Oh, may they see thy hand going before them in all these things. Lord, we pray for those that mourn. Since one was last here, has removed the dear mothers, some here, many here. Oh Lord, do comfort their hearts in the continuing loss. Lord, do help in all that this means. Prepare us each for our end. O Lord, do grant oil in our vessels, that we be found wise virgins at last, and go in with thee, Lord, under the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the door to be shut behind us. Sin shut out, the world shut out, their poor fallen nature shut out. The devil shut out. Oh, to be shut in with thee. But Lord, if one may confess on behalf of any other, oh Lord, how unfit we feel to be. Lord, we pray, have mercy. We cannot make ourselves fit, Lord, that is certain. Lord, we pray, have mercy. Grant us that sanctifying that thou didst speak of, Lord Jesus, in prayer to thy Father, for their sakes. I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Do bless the deacons, bless the hymns that are sung, and grant direction, Lord, in all the matters. Grant, Lord, prayer, bind together the church closer and closer in Christ. Let no root of bitterness spring up here or in thy church, wherever it is. Grant godly, gracious additions, we pray. Have mercy on Britain. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Restrain evil, we pray. Lord, overturn the strategy and schemes and devices of the adversary and his agents. Take not the candlestick of truth completely from these shores. Oh, return in mercies to Zion. Grant us, Lord, a gracious revival. Overrule in government. Overrule, Lord, judges, magistrates, and others in positions of authority. For, Lord, increasingly, they are conducting themselves in a way which is so very far removed from thy word, in a way which oppresses thy people, in a way which militates against those that seek to walk in thy fear. But Lord, thou art above them. Lord, we pray, help thy little remnant to fight on their knees by faith, to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold of eternal life. Lord, appear, we beg. Forgive what one's asked to miss. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 412. What cheering words are these? Their sweetness who can tell? In time and to eternal days, 'tis with the righteous well. Hymn 412.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, I venture to direct your attention to the book of Genesis, chapter 32, reading verses 24 to 29. Genesis, chapter 32, from verse 24 to 29. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." He said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." He said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. The first sentence and the last sentence in these verses that I have read to you are those that have particularly rested upon my spirit in coming here this evening, which is why I've announced such a long text. We read that the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in a waste town, in wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As the eagle stirreth up his nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. And that is how Jacob came to be where he was here. That is how he came to be alone, as he was here. The Lord was leading him. Jacob was precious. He was the Lord's portion. Why, the wonder of this, that the Lord's portion is his people. Why, and it is so clear, isn't it, from the Word of God? Oh, has it been made clear that you are his portion? Has he made it your desire that it might be made clear that you are his portion? "Say unto my soul," said the psalmist, "I am thy salvation." But how is it in the Word of God made so clear that the Lord's people are his portion? The way he spoke to them. The way he delivered them. The way he bore with them in all their sinfulness. His word to them is covenant. And he sent his Son to redeem them, to ransom them from the power of the grave, to deliver them from the curse of the law, to quicken them into divine life. I am the resurrection and the life. Why? The Lord's people is portion. Jacob was left alone. This is true of all the Lord's people. He will have communion with them alone. There's nothing more sacred this side of heaven than that. To be alone with the Lord. To be so He must shut out everything else because we cannot. We cannot do anything. And it was the Lord that shut out all others at this time for Jacob. It would appear that it was his intention to follow his wives and family and flocks and herds over that brook Jabbok. But he was prevented by this man coming and wrestling with him. It was then in the ordering of God's providence that Jacob had sent over his people before him, left alone. You see, the things that concern our salvation, the secret things between our soul and God, oh, how great they are, how secret they are, how personal they are. No one else can help us in those matters. Have you a case that no one else but God can help you with? The first thing that comes to mind in this is really a mercy, although it all is, of course, but it comes to me like this. What a mercy it is, we do not have to share with others the awful things that go on in our minds, the sinful thoughts. I believe it was the late Mr. Frank Gosden who said to the people, if you knew your sins would be on the chapel wall, written up for all the people to see, you'd never be able to come in. Jacob was left alone. But then in the blessing that Jacob was blessed with here. And really, though, the blessing, the complete blessing, the full blessing, is at the end of this experience. The whole of it was a blessing, really. And that blessing is to be alone with God. That blessing is to be in a spiritual exercise by His quickening. And that is what is set forth here. By this man wrestling with Jacob. This was evidently the Son of God. Because Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, the face of God. I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved. At this time the Son of God had not taken the nature of man without sin. He appeared then in the form of a man before he actually was made man. Why? Why? Surely a type, a shadow. A declaration of by God Himself of what would come to pass. I say come to pass. We sometimes forget what that expression really means. Come to pass. It didn't come to pass, did it? That nature which the Son of God took, it will never pass. He's in that same nature now, glorified, yes, but in heaven itself. The power of an endless life. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Well, those things, it comes back to me now as I read this verse out to you again. Those things that the Lord brings upon people, his people, that they might be left alone. Those he may take from them, or that particular circumstance. Perhaps it is with some when a young man goes to war, fighting for his country. He leaves his family home. He leaves behind his anxious mother and father. And he's alone, perhaps in some foreign country. In former days, perhaps in trenches. In the present day, in some camp. In some hot, dry, dusty place. Surrounded with dangers, left alone. The Lord's overruling purpose in it. That the very circumstance of being in such danger, the very circumstance of being without any of his relations with any of his fellow people, perhaps, and most likely, without any company of godly people at all, Jacob was left alone. In another case, it may be the Lord brings about that causes that one to be in hospital, and they're left alone. I speak like this because I remember it on one occasion in my own experience, these very words. As I was taken to the room in the hospital, in the ordering of God's providence, I was on my own in a single room. The nurse took me, left me there, waiting for the operation. And those words came to me, and Jacob was left alone. And I believe in my measure, I knew something of what Jacob knew here. I fell on my knees and begged, wrestled, I trust in some measure. And I hope I can say, I hope I'm not deceived in saying I received a blessing. And Jacob was left alone. Why? Then the blessing in it. And there wrestled a man with him till the breaking of the day. The quickening influence of the Son of God. That is what is set forth here by this wrestling. Oh, how lacking in spiritual exercise we are, unless the Lord wrestles with us. How lacking in prayer we are, unless he wrestles with us. How lacking in concern over our soul we are, unless he wrestles with us. How hard we are, unless he wrestles with us. How careless, how indifferent, how unbelieving. If the Lord wrestles with you, it is to this end he produces an exercise. He kindles in your soul desire. He kindles faith in your soul. That's evidently what the Lord did here for Jacob, wasn't it? What faith the Lord put in this man's heart as he wrestled with him. What prayer. You see then the Lord in the beginning of it, and he's in the beginning of everything that is right, everything that is good. I am Alpha, he said, the beginning, and Omega, the ending. He was in the beginning and he was in the end of this, and he was right the way through. Until the breaking of the day. Through the night then, right through the night. till the breaking of that next day. The breaking of the day may signify in the Lord's people's experience the beginning of the appearance of deliverance. We know what signals the breaking of the day naturally. A light on the horizon. Before the sun can actually be seen coming up over the horizon, the light as it approaches that horizon can be seen. And so, this in the Lord's people's experience signifies some appearance of the approach of deliverance. The breaking of the day. But it isn't the full deliverance. No. There is yet more to be known. And so because of that, Jacob, why, he cannot rest yet. He cannot say, the day breaketh, I must cease in my wrestling. He cannot say, the day breaketh, there's an appearance of hope. Well, that is the end of the matter then. No. No. Because it wasn't the end of the matter in God's mind. That's why Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. But then before that, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, why? We read at the end, toward the end of this portion, the Lord said to Jacob, thou hast prevailed with God and with men. And how do sinners prevail with God and with men? How can a poor, weak sinner prevail with God and with men? Jehoshaphat knew he couldn't prevail against those men that came against him. He said, we have no might against this great company. And neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. That was how he prevailed. And that meeting for prayer, all the people, their wives and their children, to gather to seek help of God. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, that the faith he put in this man Jacob, that the exercise he was producing in him was such that, oh, there was no prevailing against Jacob. Because he was pleading on the terms of faith. He was pleading the name of the Lord. He was pleading mercy. That work of God. Why, it's by God's work that Jacob was thus wrestling. It's by God's work that therefore God could not prevail against him. Oh, you may say, this is mysterious, this is a paradox. Well, it is. But you see, the Lord's people, they know this in their experience. Oh, the Lord's people have to do with God. God in his holiness, God in his righteousness, God in his indignation with their sin, God in his sentence against their offences, God in all his solemn and infinite requirements. But you see, when the Son of God comes and wrestles with a poor sinner, oh, he causes them to plead with God in such a way that God in all his holiness, his righteousness, his indignation with their sin, or in all his infinite requirements, he cannot prevail against this pleading sinner. Why not? because it is the work of God himself causing this one to plead the righteousness of Jesus Christ, causing this one to plead mercy, mercy to abound above all my transgressions, mercy, forgiveness, to put away all my sins, grace to overcome all my ungraciousness, grace to overcome all my wretchedness, my death, life to overcome all my death. And when he saw he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He made Jacob then even weaker. You see, naturally speaking, it was impossible now for Jacob to wrestle. How can a man wrestle whose thigh is out of joint? An impossibility. What must he have done? Must he not have hung upon that man? And is this not set forth by what Jacob went on to say? Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Why, the effect then of Jacob's thigh being put out of joint was that Jacob clung even harder to that man, clung even closer to that man, hung upon him. Oh, what is it for a sinner to hang upon this man, Christ Jesus? Why, it is to plead every word he has spoken. Oh, it is to hang completely, singly, wholly upon the name of the Lord Jesus, the promises of the Lord Jesus, the finished work of the Lord Jesus. But you see, unless we're weakened, we don't do this. Unless we're weakened by God, we don't hang upon the Lord Jesus. We've got other props, haven't we? False props. This about us, that about us. Oh, and you see this touching of the Lord of the hollow of Jacob's thigh. It says forth, when the Lord puts forth his hand in teaching, his hand in instructing, his word as the sword of the Spirit, when that touches the hollow of your thigh, sinner, when that touches the very thing that you're using to wrestle in the flesh, you're helpless. You're helpless. Oh, how you must sink then, except there be this enabling to cling to Christ. And you see, the thing is this. The Lord is in control of everything here that is going on in this person's experience. He is working the whole. And he does so in such a way that he'll never touch the hollow of a person's thigh without also putting his arm underneath that sinner. You say, yes, but you said just now that Jacob was hanging on the Lord. Yes, I did say that. But you know, who can hang upon the Lord except the Lord put his hand underneath them by the giving of that living faith, by the speaking of some further word, by the conveying of some further view of Christ. And it's like this, the weaker a poor sinner is, the more suitable Christ is to them. The weaker a poor sinner is, oh, the more pitifully does the Lord look upon that one, that is in pity toward them, soon touched, says the hymn writer, by human woe. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Another paradox. If, as we know, the Lord fully intended to bless Jacob at this time, why did he say to him, let me go, for the day breaketh? If Jacob's God is ours, if we know anything of these things in any measure at all that Jacob knew, we prove this. His ways in the sea, his footsteps in the mighty waters, his paths are not known, his goings. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. But the result may give the indication of why he spoke in that way. What was the result of this man, the Son of God, saying to Jacob, let me go, for the day breaketh? The result was, he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. It was then the trying of his faith. And because his faith was being given by God, it stood that trial. Nothing else will. The faith of that dear woman of Canaan, how tried it was. First the Lord answered not a word. Then the disciples bade him send them away. Then the Saviour himself said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. But did any of those things cause that woman to go away? No. Undoubtedly, those things had the purifying effect. For do we not see, as that trial went on, that that woman got lower? So she came to that place the Lord was bringing her to by the things he was saying to her, the things he was allowing. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I venture to name this. In the Lord's saying, let me go, there was actually brought before Jacob this. The Lord actually said it. Let me go, for the day breaketh. And the very stating of those words brought before Jacob, shall I say, the possibility of this matter ending without a blessing? And this is what I put to you. I venture to name it. Oh, that very statement stirred up in Jacob. The exercise. It was as though the very stating of it. Dear Ann Steele says, doesn't she? Depart from thee, 'tis death, 'tis more, 'tis endless ruin, deep despair. You see, Jacob, he hadn't yet got from the Lord what he felt a need, what he was longing for, what the Lord was exercising him for. He hadn't got that yet, which would enable him to go forth and meet his brother Esau. He hadn't got that yet, the forgiveness of his sins. For wasn't that a reminder to him when he heard that Esau was coming with 400 men? And you know, isn't it a reminder to the Lord's people, everything that comes upon them? Does the Lord exercise you in this way concerning everything that comes upon you? You're not left to merely say, well, these things happen. And you're not also left to say, well, it'll be all right. The Lord is faithful. He is faithful. Don't mistake me. But we can say those words, the Lord is faithful, in a very carnal way, and go to sleep on those words. That's holding the truth in unrighteousness. And if we're left to do that, we should perish. No, he hadn't got what he longed for. Let me go, for the day breaketh. He said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. But then, what strong words these are. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Remember, this is a sinner saying this to God. Do you know what it is to speak to the Almighty? If you do, it is because he has first spoken to you. And if he has spoken to you, it will be on what he has said. It will be on what he has promised. It will be upon what he has set forth of himself in the gospel of his dear Son. It will be on that ground, covenant ground. You say, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I will not let thee go. I cannot. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I will not let thee go. Oh, you see, if I may put it like this, that look of faith, that plea of faith, it is in this way that the Lord's people cannot let the Lord go. When their eye is on the Lord, not looking on themselves, not pouring on themselves, it is when that faith is in exercise they can say, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And you see, when they speak in faith like that, they're not speaking contrary to God. They're not speaking in a derogatory way. They're not speaking in a presumptuous way. This wasn't presumption on Jacob's part. It was faith. And you know, the Lord wasn't offended by it in the least, because he was the author of it. And he's not offended by a poor sinner who will not take no for an answer. Because the Lord will not give no to an answer to a poor sinner who begs mercy for Jesus' sake. And you see, this is why Jacob can say, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Except thou bless me. You see how his words, they show the exercise of real faith, which is the pleading for, the looking for an answer. Oh, how this, if the Lord would show it to us in a saving way and convince us of it, how it would show us our sinfulness. That is our unbelief. But whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Oh, in being satisfied without an answer. But that is how we are, left to ourselves, isn't it? Can we say we never think that having prayed a prayer, that is all right, we can leave it now? But if the Lord exercises mercifully to the obtaining of an answer, we shall not be able to leave it. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Why, this may not come as quickly as Jacob's blessing came here. This time of wrestling may be over a much longer period than Jacob's was here. What is it then in the experience of a person who is caused by the Lord himself to still hang upon the Lord, still wait, still look? Oh, is it not? As he does not let them rest without the blessing. Paul, in writing to the Hebrews, he says, let us therefore labour to enter into rest. Surely above all that means, let us not rest till God lay us to rest. Let us not rest till God bring us into that place where he rests. He would not let him go. He said, I would not let thee go, except thou bless me. Except thou bless me. This blessing, the blessing of the Lord. Oh, Jacob had had blessings, hadn't he? What a blessing was that he had at Bethel. The Lord appeared to him in that vision, showed him that ladder reaching down to the earth from heaven, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it, and he spoke all those wonderful promises. He had blessed Jacob in his providential things. Laban changed his wages 10 times. And every time Laban changed his wages, God turned it round so that he was better off. Though Laban intended he'd be worse off. But now Jacob is in this place. And those blessings that he has had, though he do not forget them, and he said, didn't he, as he approached this time, he said, thou saidst I will surely do thee good. No, he needs a blessing now. He needs to see God by faith now. He needs another word from the Lord now, above all. Oh, he needs this. To know the name of the Lord. To see the Lord by living faith. To know and realize that union to the Lord in Christ. To know his sins forgiven. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Except thou bless me. Go back to this point regarding this sinner hanging here upon the Lord. The Lord having weakened them by touching the hollow of their thigh. Oh, they're here then waiting, begging. Lord, bless me. They're seeking for everything to come to them from God. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing that delivers. The blessing that brings everything with it. That's Christ, isn't it? It has pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Except thou bless me. A sovereign blessing. Sovereignly bestowed. A divine blessing. Immeasurable. Who can describe what this is, this blessing? No one can. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Don't be surprised, my dear friend, if when the Lord brings you into this exercise, Jacob was here. Oh, that your soul is after, you cannot fully describe. Because your case you cannot fully describe. Who can describe what a sinner you are? Who can measure what a sinner you are? Who can measure the needs you have? And who can say, what is it you're actually seeking after? Is it not something which is beyond words to describe? If it isn't, there's a great question mark over whether our seeking is of the Lord. Except thou bless me. Except thou bless me, Lord, in such a way as I shall be completely blessed, fully satisfied, delivered. All my poverty overcome, made rich. All my sins put away, washed away. All my sinfulness subdued. For he will subdue our iniquities, is his promise. All my hardness gone. All my sinful limitations overcome by the power of thy Spirit. Except thou bless me. But of course in the Lord's people's experience, there are those things which the Lord puts into their heart so that they do have that in their heart. They do have that in their mind as they say, except thou bless me. What is it above everything else that you would have tonight? That's the blessing, isn't it? Lord, the answer to these oft-repeated cries, the deliverance from this long trial. Oh, the assurance, Lord, that thou art my God. The taking away of these fears and this distress, I'm fearful and distressed with at this time, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. supplant a deceiver. Did the Lord not know his name? Of course he knew his name. There is nothing the Lord does not know. Why then did he say, "What is thy name?" Didn't it bring forth from Jacob, as it were, a confession? "I am supplanter, deceiver, Lord." Think of that Gadarene. Their name is Legion. Yes. "What is thy name, Jacob?" And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." Oh, you see how the Lord in his dealings with Jacob here, oh, he blesses him indeed. There's no covering over of what Jacob is by nature. There's no hiding of what Jacob is. There's no saying by God, "We'll forget your past." No. He brings forward from Jacob by asking him his name, exactly what he is like, exactly who he is. And you see, I'm speaking in this way because I believe I know something of what I'm speaking of. When the Lord blesses a person, it's not when, as it were, their sins are hidden from view and then the Lord blesses them. No, it's not as though they get into a better condition and then the Lord blesses them. No, when you come to the point of blessing, my dear friend, child of God, it will be as it was here. The Lord bringing forth everything. The badness of the case and then delivering. Oh, the glory due unto his great and holy name. This sickness, not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. This sickness, though it is so great, though this sinner is struck to death by sin, though sin has slain them, is not unto death. No, because life is by the blessed gift of the Son of God. Life is by the imputing of his life. Righteousness is by the imputing of his righteousness. Pardon, cleanliness through the washing in the fountain of his precious blood. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, a new name. Israel means a prince of God, a son of the king. And how a son? Through this man who wrestled with him, the Son of God. Heirs of God, joined heirs with Christ. Christ the elder brother. God has sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, said Paul, crying, "Abba, Father." Israel, prince of God. Adopted. The Lord giving a person a new name. Why? The blessing of the Lord saying, "Thou art my son." That's what the Lord was saying to Jacob here. Israel, a prince. "Thou art my son. I will say it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God." For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. As a prince. It's only because thou art a son of God. It's only because of the spiritual life of the Son of God, which makes you a son of God. It's only because of the spiritual life, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus upon you, manifest in this faith, in this prayer, in this humility, in this wrestling. It's only in that that you've prevailed with God. You haven't prevailed on any terms relating to your old nature. No. You've prevailed, in that new creation. Prevailed in that blessed new living way which God has consecrated. Ye who sometimes were far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thou hast power with God. Power with God. Plead in his own word. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of his righteousness, even of his only. That power with God, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. You see, this is the power with God. There's no power with God in making mention of anything about you. You can't prevail with God in that way. And this is why God must touch the hollow of your thigh, so you're stopped from doing such things. Power with God. Lord, hast thou not said, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out? Lord, hast thou not said, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven? Hast thou not said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink? Hast thou not said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? Power with God. Power with God. The mercy of God. Hey, that publican had power with God. God be merciful to me, a sinner. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. But the prevailing with men is through God. Through God. Just as Jehoshaphat and the men of Judah prevailed with God and with men, so that all that great host fled before them. And Jehoshaphat and his men didn't lift a sword, did they? The prevailing with men is through God. Thou comest to me, said David, to Goliath with a sword and with a spear, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, whose armies thou hast defied. How did that stone find that small area of unguarded flesh in that great giant? The Lord directed it. It could not miss. Power with God and with men, and has prevailed. Yes, has prevailed. Is this prevailing? Yes. The prevailing means the obtaining of the blessing. The prevailing means the getting of the answer. The prevailing means the overcoming. The prevailing means the Lord saying, I will, be thou clean. The prevailing means as that woman did. As the Lord said, go in peace. Thy faith has saved thee and hast prevailed. Prevailed against all that opposed. You know, when Jacob went out to meet Esau, Esau was completely powerless. He could not touch Jacob. Why not? The restraining hand of God. Those lions in the den, they could not open their mouths against Daniel. Why not? My God has sent his angel and he has shut the lion's mouth, said Daniel. But oh, he prevails in such a way that all the glory is the Lord's. Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. There's yet more that he's seeking. And you know this will be how it is with the Lord's people. In those times of exercise to the obtaining of particular blessings in their life, and it will be so right to the end of their days. Paul said, didn't he, writing to the Philippians, I count not myself to have apprehended. For this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. Oh, he wants to know this one. He wants to know his name. The promise of the Lord is, they shall know my name. It isn't the letter of the name, is it? It's the meaning of the name. It's the character of the person. It's the wonder of the person. Oh, sinner, if the Lord draw near, if he begin to make himself known to you, if through the word of God, through the ministry, you begin to get glimpses of Christ. Oh, this will be your desire. Tell me thy name. Oh, make thyself known to me, Lord, that I may know him, Paul said. Jacob was there at this time. Tell me thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? Again the Lord knew why it was. It's a trying. But then you see, oh, wherefore is it? Why is it, sinner, you want to know the name of the Lord? If it's a desire that the Lord has inspired, it's that you might blessedly rejoice in him, isn't it? That you might enter into that blessed salvation that is in his name, that you might be swallowed up in him, because that is what you feel you'll know if you know his name. The heaven of loving thee alone. You see, that's all in his name, because in his name is that grace, that fullness that brings a sinner to love Christ above everything else. To have the Spirit of Christ, that's in his name. To have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. To have my sins washed in his precious blood, that's in his name. To have that sweet and blessed submission to all his holy will, that's in his name. Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And he blessed him there. He had to come there for the blessing. There's mine the spot, the piece of ground where Jesus did thee meet. You feared when you went there. You didn't know first when you went there that this was what the Lord had in store for you. He led him about. He blessed him. This was the answer then to Jacob's inquiry, what is thy name? The blessing is the answer to the name. The blessing is the name. When Jacob had a revelation of the Son of God incarnate, when he had a revelation of the Son in such a way that he knew his name, but he was in such a way it couldn't be expressed. Paul said, didn't he, when he was carried into the third heaven, He saw things which it was not possible for him to speak of. And he blessed him there. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Wallace will preach next Lord's Day and on Tuesday evening, and there'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening. Let us close with hymn 92. Who is this fair one in distress that travels from this wilderness, impressed with sorrows and with sin? On her beloved Lord she leans. Hymn 92.
Thank you.
do bless to us thy word. May it remain with us. Lead us in meditation. Forgive what has been amiss. May that be blotted out. Keep us safe, we pray, as we separate. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.